This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody. I'm ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and you're listening to Attention Talk Radio. Tonight is July the 2nd in the year 2014 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We got a great show for you tonight. We got Kirsten Milliken in our virtual studio, and our topic is ADHD delegation, like it's really that easy. I think it's an interesting topic tonight. It's kind of a bit of a point-counterpoint type thing. Many of those out there with ADD, it's that so thing is delegate it, get it off your plate, that type of stuff, and it sounds so easy, but we're going to kind of talk about, is it really that easy, or maybe what gets in the way? Our goal really is to make you think. And see if we can help you move forward. But before we get into the details of the show, a few announcements. Number one, working backwards, the annual CHAD conference is around the corner. It's not that far away, coming up in Chicago, Illinois. I think it's around November the 10th. It's in Chicago this year. I know that I'm going to be there. And I hope that you will, too. To learn more about that event, go to chadd.org. It's a great opportunity to go meet like-minded people, get to know your tribe, et cetera. Also, around the corner is the Attention Deficit Disorder Association conference, which is, I believe, it's July the 25th-ish up in Orlando, Florida. It's just up the road from here. I know I'm going to be there, and actually I'll be speaking at this one. Which will be actually kind of a blast, and you can learn more about that by going to add.org. Also, as an aside, I had the privilege of actually the honor, Lori DePar had asked me to present a webinar at the Success with ADHD Telesummit that is coming around July the 14th of this year. This is an online situation. We encourage you, if you just go Google Success with ADHD Telesummit and sign up, you can participate and get some great information. I know my webinar is on the anatomy of a strength. It's kind of funny because I get kind of confused between gifts, talents, skills, knowledge, experience, practice, all that kind of stuff, and try to put it into a context that makes a little bit of sense. So if you're interested, it's you can participate in that in the privacy of your own home. And I think Lori did a really good job. Most of the webinars, I think, are confined to 30 minutes, so they're nice and tight and good information, so go check that out. Also, another real quick plug, Dr. Barkley has communicated to let me know and kind of communicate out there. There's a new website called ADHDfund.com. It's about crowdsourcing, which is really what it's about. It's about raising funds to do ADHD research that are not earmarked. Typically, when people come in and they want some research done, they've got something that they're looking for, there's some funding for it. There's lots of really good ideas out there that that probably are worth some research that people can ignore. I know in the personal world, glucosamine and chondroitin is a you can get it in the vitamin section, and it's said to kind of help your joints and stuff, but it's been generic for a really long period of time, and I know there's no research that's done on it, so there's a lot of hearsay. And that's an example of something that could use some funding to actually kind of go in and kind of make some sense out or not. So anyway, just go check that out. I think that's all the announcement we have tonight. I'd like to thank our listeners out there for your patience the last 2 weeks. We've had some recorded shows because I was out of town at with my youngest son at the U.S. National Regional Soccer Championships, which was quite an experience in Baton Rouge during World Cup. Let me tell you, it was nothing but watching the winners of each state in the Southeast region by day and watching World Cup by night. So let's just say I'm soccered out. And it's a little disappointing because USA missed their run the other day. But anyway, the last two shows have been pre-taped. And because of some volatility, tonight was actually pre-recorded as well. Although I'm doing this live, we're going to play the show in its entirety. Again, I want to reiterate, Kirsten Milliken is our guest. Our topic is on delegating. And I hope you learned something about this. We're going to kind of talk about some of my views and some of the perspectives that are going on. So we're going to roll the tape. We hope you enjoy. And here we go.
Well, hey, Kirsten, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm glad to be here. So I know how much you hate reading people's bios.
Yeah, you are so right. Can
so
you help me
I
out
thought
here?
I'd do you and do my own bio. How would that be?
That'd be awesome.
All right. So Dr. Kirsten Milliken, which would be me, I'm actually originally from New York, which I like to clarify for people because now I live in Maine. And I practice as both a clinical psychologist and a certified coach in the field of ADHD. You know, and hopefully some of our listeners also know, that I have the ADHD Executive Coaching, which is my coaching practice, and also my online business, which is PlayDHD, which is all about play and ADHD for adults. And I think that those are kind of the highlights. And, of course, you know, I've done a lot of shows with you, so I'm happy to be back doing this one on delegation with you today.
Well, we always like having you on the show. It's always a spirited conversation, and I think, you know, we've done some other shows like this that are kind of a point counterpoint format, not to be right or wrong, but just get people to think about things that, or pay attention to things that they haven't really paid attention to. And I'm real excited about today, Kirsten, because I think delegation, when I think of the word delegation, it's like there's just a monkey jumps off your back. It frees you all up. And so it sounds like such a simple answer. I'm not so sure it is. Thoughts?
Well, I have to say, when you say delegation, to me, that's a source of anxiety for me.
Really?
Because I love the concept of it, but the thought of the process of delegating is just so anxiety-provoking that I've often tried to avoid it and just done fallen back on the, well, I'll just do it myself, which is obviously my advantage.
Anxiety.
Yeah.
Over the process.
Over the process. Well, you know, because you can't just hand something to somebody, something that you've done. So I've built my businesses,
yep.
And I know what and how to do things in a
yep.
certain way, and I have certain expectations. And so hiring somebody or finding somebody to do that and expecting them to do it the way I would do it, and having to invest the time to get them to do it that way, always feels like kind of a crapshoot to me.
I love what you're saying. Keep going.
Well, you know, and so I always think, well, you know, if I train somebody, if I take my time and I train somebody and explain all the details to them and then send them off on their own, are they, A, really going to understand what I'm asking them? Are they going to
mm-hmm.
do it in the amount of time that I think is reasonable? And are they actually going to get the same outcome that I would expect to get if I did it?
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, and I've had, unfortunately, enough experiences with people not really doing things the way I want them to or in a way that was adequate for me or on time or met the goal that I had set for them, which, you know, unfortunately just proves that my worry was founded.
Yep.
You
said something,
so
the way...
out, you know, go ahead.
You said the way I want them to do it.
Right.
Talk to me more about that. Because that always kind of conjures up. I think the naysayers out there is like, you know, you're a perfectionist.
Some of that's true. I mean, some of it is, you know, we get into our habits and routines and don't realize that another person might do it differently and still have a good or even sometimes even a better outcome. So I think letting go of some of that can be difficult sometimes, trusting that somebody else who isn't you, who hasn't built your business and doesn't have all that stuff in your head, would be capable of doing things as well as, or good enough as even, or better. That's a hard one to let go of.
Well, I'm just going to go counterpoint on this a little bit because I can see how you'd say perfection, but the more and more I've coached people, to me, when you talk about the way I want them to do it, sometimes there's a certain amount of organization and the way it's organized. And so if like, for example, I'm working with an individual who's a business owner, runs a relatively large, and he thinks in terms of categories. That's just the way it is, categories and bullet points. And he's working with some other people in his organization that don't think that way. When they organize stuff, it's really kind of in lists. And it's like on and on. And I think we've discovered he gets frustrated when he's delegated some of that stuff and they come back with the answer in a list format, because now he has to go through all the work of taking their lists and sticking it into the categories so that he can absorb the information. And so while the content might be good, the way they organized it is very difficult for him, and he gets frustrated by it because I need – if you're going to go do all that stuff, if I'm going to delegate that to you and you're to come back, I need you to bring it back to me in a format that I can digest, not a format that I have to convert or translate from your organizational system to my organizational system. So with my comments on that, what do you think of that?
Well, I think one of the hard things in delegating is, you know, how much do you – like, how many details do you give the person about how you want them to do things, you know, how you want them to report it back, how you want it presented to you, versus how much do you allow them some autonomy so that they can kind of own the project that they're taking on and take responsibility for it. So it's a little dance, and it's hard. I mean, you know, I'm going to keep saying this. For me, it's very hard because there are just so many nuances to it.
It's funny because for me,
when I do it, I'm in control. It's my fault.
And for me, I think, and again, everybody, this is not for me to be right or Kirsten to be right, but just to have stuff, because it's really about helping you see what's kind of going on in your head. And Kirsten, for me, how much do you want to do that again is how do you think, and if somebody else thinks differently, you can delegate it, but now there's a translation problem in terms of how you guys think about it that creates a certain amount of work. And the autonomy thing, I get you want to give somebody some time, but sometimes it's like I'm happy to give them all the autonomy they want as long as what comes back is in a format that I can do or I can mess with, because if not, then I've got another level of work. And so to your point earlier that it kind of creates a lot of anxiety, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do the show, because I do think that there's a lot of anxiety in my deals. If we can isolate some of these things, a person can maybe pay attention to those things to help them move forward. So in the context of doing it your way, which I kind of described, I interrupted you. Do you remember what you were going to continue to say after that?
Doing it my way. No, I don't remember exactly, but that's because we moved on.
Nope, sorry about that.
I mean, there's not only one way to get things done.
Yep.
You and I know that, and I think, you know, but we want to have control. We want to get credit for things. If it's done our way, you know, and things work out the way we would have them done, then we feel a certain sense of ownership and control and
mm-hmm.
you know, pride in that outcome. But
mm-hmm.
allowing for the fact that there's other ways to do things, there's other ways that, you know, things can be accomplished is important. I think I will have to say, like, a lot of my anxiety is, like, all that very short-term stuff.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, there's all of these struggles around delegation, and in my mind, I have to tell you that I know in the long run that it's for the best.
Uh-huh.
Getting past all of these little anxieties that really, that's the struggle.
Yep. Well, I tell you what, Kirsten, I want to go to a break, and we come back. I wanted to introduce play into this concept of delegating, because I think that there's something that might be there that might be near and dear to your heart, and I'm just interested to get your reaction to it. So before we go to our break, we still plug in Play DHD?
I hope we are.
All right, everybody. Play DHD is a really, really pretty cool site. You need to go check it out. Kirsten's doing a lot of work on ADHD and play. I've learned an enormous amount from her, and I know that she's continued to develop it. So go to Play DHD. That's PLAYD. HD.com, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio. We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Kirsten Milliken, and we're having a conversation about ADHD and delegation. I really like the first part of the segment, Kirsten, in that anxiety stuff that you kind of brought up, because I do think that there's some stuff that's there, and I think there's obstacles in the way that kind of create that, and I think that we have a kind of healthy conversation on that. Another area that I'm interested in your comments on with regard to delegating is sometimes, to me, is you've got something that you want to delegate, but you're not really sure what it is, and for me, sometimes you got to play with it to figure out exactly what you want to delegate. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'd like to hear your thoughts on playing with things to figure out how to delegate.
I've learned this from you, and I never thought of play. And, you know, if play is part of executive functioning, and as children we play, I'm starting to understand why play is so important, because there's so much about organization and sequencing externally that a person kind of plays with, and then as you grow older, that external play becomes internalized. It moves kind of in your head. And because I've been a part of watching you pull Play DHC together, I'm more attuned to play, and I'm listening to it, and I saw somebody the other day get some type of device. It was some electronic device, and they pulled it out of the box, and somebody was asking a question. They said, I just need to play with it for a minute. And I began to realize is that they were playing with it in order to try to figure it out. And so for me, there's so much in my business that because I'm doing a lot of changing of things right now, and like, for example, I'm working on some affiliate programs and stuff a little bit, and how I really want that to work, I realize that I've got to get in and play with it a little bit on the website to try to figure out how I want it to be so that then I can delegate it. It's not as much as an organizational function as I kind of talked about before, but I got to kind of play with it to figure out what direction I want to go with it. So from my perspective, sometimes I got this space, this thing, but I got to play with it so I can refine it down to really kind of what direction I want to go in. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, but it's interesting that you're saying that, because I always think, you know, if I had a new thing that I wanted to get done, that would almost be easier to delegate than an old thing that I'd been doing, because I could hire somebody, get their insight, and you and I do things differently, but
yep.
You know, I could hire somebody to figure out what that process would be and to let me and to inform me about what the choices were and how they might go about doing it, versus me having to figure it out and then hiring somebody to delegate that to do it my way.
That's a great point. And you know, we do have different ways of going about it. I know I've actually delegated research to people. Like, listen, can you go learn the big picture of that and come back and teach me how it all works so then I can figure out what to do, which is sometimes difficult to do. Whereas other people just say, I don't really care, just come back and give you the methodical steps. And I found, particularly in our business, Kirsten, is that there's a lot of things that are people doing it, because our target market is a little different from the national target market. It's just the generic. And I've learned that if you do a marketing type of thing, actually you're paying attention to the wrong thing. And so that's just something I've learned over the years. And it's not to say my process is right or wrong, but I think you do bring a good perspective. Is for some, it might be just delegate, show me how to do this. For me, it's delegate, come back and show me how all this works so then I can figure out which way it goes. But either way, I think as we pay attention to delegation in general, I think that we're just peeling back the onion and illuminating so many things that can kind of get in the way.
Right. It's actually funny that I didn't know which direction you were going to go in with the whole play and delegating thing, and I had some notes for myself about play and delegating, and none of them were what you had said.
Well, share. Please share. I'm interested.
I was thinking, I had mentioned, the short-term anxiety versus the long-term payoff, and obviously if we're delegating things and we get somebody that we feel confident to delegate to, we have more time to play, not just in our personal lives, but also in our businesses, because neither you nor I are kind of standstill people. We're always developing new things in our business, and if we're stuck doing all of the old stuff, things that have to be done, and we're not delegating them, we can't go play and do and expand our business and
mm-hmm.
learn more stuff and grow. So those were some of the things that I was thinking about in terms of play and delegating.
Wow. You just actually spurred something here. It's kind of funny because this show is being taped because I'll be traveling a little bit this summer, and it's May. And I actually delegate a lot of work on social media, particularly Twitter, to an individual that's out of the country right now. And it was great because I've just delegated that. I have no idea how it works. I said, just do this. And actually it's created a lot of anxiety from this week because I don't have anybody else to kind of fill that hole. And I'm actually having to kind of get involved, which is, I'm not saying it's delegating. It's just an interesting source that I just outsource this whole thing. And now I have anxiety because that person's gone and I'm having to figure that out, which is taking me probably 50 times longer than what it take her to do it, on top of everything else that's got going on, which goes back to, with anxiety, excuse me, delegating, there can be this underlying anxiety can create some problems.
No. If your company relies on any one person, including you, then you've got a problem. So you need
Touché.
To play with that.
Touché. I want to go to break. You've got some articles that talk about delegating. Is that right?
If I do, I wrote them a while ago, and I don't remember them. But maybe you do.
No, I thought you had some research. Anyway, so I tell you what.
Oh, yeah. Not my own, but yes, I do. I've got some other people's information.
Yeah, let's go to a break and come back. Let's kind of talk about kind of what's written out there, and you and I can comment on our thoughts on that. Make sense?
Perfect.
All right, everybody, check out Kirsten and PlayDHD at PlayDHD.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an Edge coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. fact, everybody, we're having a spirited conversation with Kirsten Milliken on delegating. We talked about anxiety. We talked about playing and delegating. Kirsten, before the break, we talked a little bit about some articles that you've got that are out there, what other people are saying about delegating. You want to share some of that with us and we can comment?
Sure. So, I mean, some of these have to do with why people don't delegate, how to delegate, and when to delegate. And so, you know, the first thing we were talking about was why people don't delegate. First of all, feeling like we don't have enough time to train whoever it is that we want to delegate to. And so obviously that has to do with, you know, investing the time now so that you can save your time later.
Yep.
The second reason was because you feel like you're losing control. You know, and we talked about this a little bit earlier. The next one was not getting credit because we want credit for our work. Next is losing tasks you enjoy because sometimes we have to give up things that we've really enjoyed doing so that we can do other things. Number five was feeling like you can do it better, like the only one who can do it right is me. And then, you know, for some people who don't work for themselves, you can delegate yourself out of a job. So if you work for yourself, obviously you don't have to have that problem. But and then the seventh one is not having confidence in your team members. So those are some of the reasons. And that was pretty, you know, I pulled up quite a lot of information on delegating, and across all of the articles, that those seven things pretty much summarize the reasons why people are hesitant to delegate sometimes.
And, again, this show is about paying attention to attention, and I get a lot of these. But just in coaching, Kirsten, I've kind of, as I've tried to work with people to help them understand how their mind works, because I find there to be lots of patterns, and if they can figure out their way of doing it, it makes them kind of go forward. The not enough time thing, I just have some general comments to that. Is sometimes it takes you so long to explain to somebody how you think, it's shorter for you just to do it anyway, whether it's you do it over and over and over. So that's a time thing. It makes more sense. Sometimes it would take you longer to delegate than it would for you to do it, particularly if you have to figure that stuff out. Losing tasks you enjoy, I think there's something to that of like, hey, I mean, there's certain things in my business that I know that I really, really like. I probably should delegate them, but that's kind of the fun part. But you can do it better, I think that sometimes can go back to, is it really I can do it better, or I can do it in a way which is easy for me because it's based off of how I think. Certainly as an entrepreneur, can't delegate ourselves out of a job. Not getting credit, I can see kind of being in there. Losing control to me goes back to a little bit of, well, losing control, but I also, like, as I've delegated Twitter, now I'm in the soup. I'm really anxious this week because I don't really have control of what's going on, and I've got a lot of pressure on me because there's certain reasons that are going on out there that I need to kind of keep this thing up. So I share that with you because I think so often these are really a good list, but sometimes for me, if you notice how your brain works, a lot of that can be a little bit of the barrier that kind of helps, part of the obstacle that kind of gets in the way, and if you can focus in on how you think, my gut is sometimes it helps you move past these. Not all the time, but just sometimes.
Exactly.
So we have a why. What was the other categories you had?
How and when.
Ooh. Tell me about
Which
how.
Which one would you like?
Let's do how.
I knew you were going to say that.
You know, I like how.
So how is, you know, and some of this is taken from the book Work Less, Do More by Jan Yeager. And so she says you have to choose what tasks you're willing to delegate. So, you know, you want to think about how is your time used the best so that you're only working on the most critical tasks for your business and tasks that only you can do and kind of let other things go and be delegated. The second one is obviously pick the best person to delegate to. So you want to know who you're delegating to, and sometimes that means interviewing people, or if you're in a company, just getting to know the people around you, you know, what their traits and values and characteristics are. You have to trust the people that you delegate to, and you have to give clear assignments and instructions. So, and again, that goes back to how much detail do you give them. Set definite completion dates and a follow-up system. You need to make sure that you give credit publicly to the people who are you're delegating to when they're successful. Need to delegate responsibility and authority, not just tasks. So especially when you're working in a system, you want to make sure that the person has the responsibility and authority to make decisions and do things in a certain way. And you also need to avoid reverse delegation, which was an interesting one. So that has to do with not just you taking back tasks, but when the person you've delegated to tries to give you back a task, that you need to make sure that they try and follow through to the end. And if they fail, they fail. And if they succeed.
Kirsten, did we lose you?
No, I'm here.
Okay. Well, yeah, great list. You know, I'm stuck in my head. You need to give people. You need to give people details. You know, that's organizing. You have to follow up and give them credit. That's organizing, and actually follow up. And then responsible and the authority. Again, all that to me is part of. You got to organize all this stuff in some type of detail and clearly communicate it to somebody. Which goes back into the how. To me, is very much about again. The effort to organize and or define, this is what I want the outcome to be. And for those with ADD, organization can be a problem. So to me, if you just focus on this without saying, how can I, what's a system that I can organize this, you're going to struggle where if you focus on what's the easiest way for me to get through the details and to put together accountability, then I think it's easier to actually delegate it. And
so,
you and I have talked
about this is a perfect point for me to interject this. Probably about a year ago, you and I were doing some coaching together, and last night, just coincidentally, I pulled up my notes, and I didn't expect to find this, but in the middle of the page, it says, I have to get organized to delegate. And this is what you and I were talking about a year ago, and it had to do with engineering my business, and you said to me, I need to look at the individual systems and synchronize them into my business so that I can give the person I'm delegating to insight and into how the business works and how I work. So I actually had written out a whole process for how one part of my business worked and all the systems and details that went into it, how they all worked together, so that I could hire someone to do some of that.
That's organizing it. And here's one of the things that I've really been learning a lot in my coaching practice recently is those with ADD, they don't necessarily need marketing people. They need engineers, and I say engineers to actually kind of help them build it, kind of co-create it. You know what I'm saying? It's not so, and I don't mean marketing. It could be anything. Whether you're building the system, it's not the strategy so much, but you need somebody to help you engineer. I mean, an engineer, you know, you build a bridge. You grab all the parts and the tools, and you figure out how it's all going to put together, and you build the bridge. I think many of those with ADD have a picture of what they want the bridge to look like. They know the strategy is to build a bridge to get them across the river or whatever that's kind of going on. But the building part, the organizing it and putting it all together sometimes I think is really kind of difficult. And I highlight that because with what you described, I mean, I have those issues in my business. I've got another thing that's going on right now that I'm actually having to sit down and trying to figure out how I'm doing it. I'm actually reaching out to other people. I need somebody to collaborate, somebody to co-create the building of this. And I'm glad you brought that up because, again, many times I think that's the elephant in the room, the part that nobody speaks of. They just say, oh, just think of how good it's going to be when you delegate it. Well, great, but that process of getting there, I don't know how to do it. And that can many times hang you up.
Well, and you're talking about a couple of things, which is, you know, one, when you're working in industries like you and I are, you know, on one hand we want to delegate things to people, but on the other hand we really want to build a team, and that can be difficult because we're not all working in one location. And so, you know, having people to do a task like your Twitter, you know, tweets, whatever, versus having somebody who understands your business and what your goal is and what your identity is and making sure that they're true to that when they're putting these, you know, tweets out there, that's a whole other thing.
That's a perfect example, which in my business, coaching, actually, I'm the product. I'm it.
Right.
How I do it is the it thing. And I got to be able to help people understand me and how I do it, because if they don't know how I do it, I'm always saying if the obvious solution isn't working, you're paying attention to the wrong thing. And I think you've heard my issues with top 10 lists, Kirsten, because by the time people are coming to me, they've tried the top 10 list and it's not working. And so I've run into problems where people, I'm trying to get them to help me, and they're wanting to put everything in a top 10 list. And I'm like, you don't understand. That's philosophically against what I'm talking about, so you're kind of not getting it. So it's difficult to delegate some of those things if the person's not listening to who I am and my methodology.
So I just had an aha, Jeff.
Yeah?
I was having a conversation earlier with somebody about the difference between coaching and therapy and some of the struggles in coaching. And I said one of the struggles in coaching is getting clients out of the mindset that the coach is the expert.
Yep.
Because in the therapy model, you know, our clients come to us as the expert in things.
Yep.
And in the coaching model, we want to collaborate with our clients and have them come to their own insight about
yep.
what works for them.
Yep.
And, I mean, really, clients often come to coaching because they want to delegate to the coach. And getting them out of that mindset is a struggle.
It can be very difficult sometimes.
It can be very difficult sometimes.
I'm just going to go to an extreme to accentuate. Some people are walking in, they're the victim. They're like, okay, listen, I want a coach to fix me. Okay, you do all the work, take care of this. And you're like, oh, I can't. It's kind of like a football player or a basketball player. I can't shoot the foul shots for you to practice. You've got to get up there and you've got to do the exercises. And, you know, Kirsten, so often people with ADD will come to coaching, and sometimes I think they're exasperated, and they're literally like, just fix me. And it's almost like they're going to be passive about it. And that can be really hard. And to communicate with them, no, this is I'm here to help you, but you're the one that's got to roll up your sleeves and do the work. That can be a little bit challenging. I find that particularly difficult for teens because sometimes I want coaching to get my parents off of my back and or I'm just going to walk in, can you fix me so that they're happy?
Right.
I got a little off tangent with that a little bit, but it is kind of a key distinction.
This is a little diversion, but it's interesting to think. I mean, there are times when delegation really is important, and there are other times really when we need to look at being more collaborative and not just trying to figure out how
yep.
to hand things over to another person.
Absolutely. Which kind of goes into the last one area is the when should you delegate?
So when to delegate. So let's see. If there's somebody else who has the expertise to complete the task,
uh-huh.
and it's not something that's critical that you do yourself, then that's
mm-hmm.
one time when you might want to delegate. If it's an opportunity for another person to maybe to grow and develop their skills, about that. If it's a task that's going to happen over and over again, you know, where it might be a good investment right now to train somebody else to do it because it's something that's going to have to happen over and over again, and if you have somebody else, it's a better use of their time than yours.
Uh-huh.
If you have enough time to delegate the job effectively, again, you don't want to just hand over a big project to somebody if you don't have time to explain it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then tasks that are critical for long-term success may actually need your attention rather than delegating them. So sometimes it's, you know, when not to delegate.
Yep. Fascinating.
So let's see. Some of the other factors that contribute to the delegability, I didn't even realize that was a word, but of a task, is, you know, the project's timeline. Do you have enough time to delegate it to somebody? Your expectations or goals. You know, if the person fails, is that going to be like a major impact on your business?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you may not want to delegate then. I think that's all I had on. Let's see, that's all I had on when to delegate. So I
can't get it out of my timelines and goals. Those are to me, to just my head, those are organizational things.
Right. Right.
I know this is, we. When I'm going to do a radio show, years ago I used to sit down and grind it all out by myself. But the process, everybody, is when I have an idea for a show or an author, a interviewee contacts me with an idea, whether I get it at the front side or we have a conversation about it, basically what I do is I come up with a show title and I write about a paragraph that's related to all that, and then I send it off. But promotional kits put together with a person's, you know, web address, their telephone number, their bio, all this kind of stuff. It's sent to the guests. They approve it. We come back. It's scheduled the show, blah, blah, blah. There's this whole thing that in the old days I used to do almost every piece of it, but I have a virtual assistant that I began working with, and over time I was developing her so that she began to think of what I was looking for and where to go get the information. And now I can manufacture a show is as simple as I have an idea. I talk to somebody driving down the road, and for those, I use this service called Copy Talk. I'll just call sometimes and dictate the title and then dictate a paragraph, and the email will come in, and I just forward it on to my virtual assistant. And I say that delegation took a span of because, number one, I had to figure out how to do it myself. Then I had to bring them in. And as time gone on, it's become very, very, very efficient. But delegating it didn't happen overnight. It literally took over a long period of time.
Right. It's an investment. So, again,
absolutely,
looking at, you know, as a project, that seems like that was a good investment. And I have to say I'm a little envious.
Well, it's funny because now that the system is done, I replicate it for the video stuff and everything else. But it does take a while to build those structures and those systems. And, again, I keep kind of coming back to, I had to organize it in my mind, I had to engineer the system, and then when I had that, I could develop somebody within the system to run it for me. And even now, I'm in the process of changing that system, and I'm having to understand it so that I can make that shift. And sometimes that takes a little bit of time, and I know there's a few individuals that like me to move that ship a little bit quicker, but I'm so busy sometimes, it just takes a little bit of time just to kind of get that moving. So, Kirsten, we need to wrap this up a little bit. Any final comments on delegation that you think is worth bringing up or something we haven't covered?
No, I mean, I think we've covered a lot. We've covered the how, the when, the why. We've covered the fact that it can be anxiety-provoking, that there are, you know, sometimes short-term costs and long-term gains, and that sometimes there are times when delegation is not necessarily the best choice.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to have, you know, you need to be paying attention to evaluate that. And
very well put.
You know, the investment you have to make is sometimes into coming up with your system and your organization so that you can translate that to somebody else and get what you need out of it.
Very, very well put. So in the spirit of Attention Talk Radio, we love to pay attention to attention, and I think we did exactly what I like to do on the show is we took a look at delegation, and when you pay attention to delegating, there's anxiety and everything that you just described that's kind of there, and if you're more aware of it, you can maybe hone in on that area that's your difficulty and maybe have a better chance of getting organized and kind of move it forward. So with that, Kirsten, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Jeff, thank you for having me. It's always fun.
And we're going to have to come up with another idea on a whim and pull one of these things together. Again, for our listeners, check out Kirsten at playdhd.com. And, again, one last time, Kirsten, thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Bye, Jeff.
Take care, everybody. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio.